Blog Talk Radio.
Jeremiah standing. As the Lord wants somebody, Jeremiah standing. Use me, Lord. Jeremiah, use me. Jeremiah, use me. As the Lord wants somebody, here am I, use me. Send me, Lord, here am I. Send me, here am I. Send me, as the Lord wants somebody, here am I. Send me. Isaiah had the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. Isaiah had the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. Anywhere, send me. Anytime, send me. Isaiah, the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. Isaiah, the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. Anywhere, send me. Anytime, use me. Isaiah, the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, use me. Isaiah, the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Anywhere, send me. Isaiah, the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is a voice calling. Oh, yes, who we answer this voice, this current voice. Yes. This Macedonian voice, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I, send me. He did not disobey the heavenly vision. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, help us not to disobey the heavenly vision. Help us to answer your call upon our lives. Yes, Lord, help us not to be another Jonah to run away from the call of God. Save us, O God. Help us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, you are all welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Thank you so much, men of God and women of God from around the world, from various nations. I can see some of you already. Thank you so much. God bless you. I tell you, God is doing a new thing, and we are all going into 2023 victoriously and triumphantly. The devil has nothing to do with us, and we are just marching on. God's army is just marching on. We thank God for bringing us through 2022, and now we are moving on to 2023. I tell you, it's going to be great. Yes, don't mind all this inflation and all these coronaviruses and all these things happening around. Just look at the word of God. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus, look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus, look unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of your faith. Yes. Tonight we're going to be talking about the man or the woman God uses. Man of God, you are welcome. God bless you. The man or the woman God uses. Who is the man or the woman that God will use in this end time? I tell you, there are many characteristics and the nature of the man or the woman God will use in this end time. I remember I was reading through Catherine Kuhlman's biography. Somebody came and said, Captain Kuma, how can I be like you? I want to be able to do miracles like you do. So Captain Kuma said, I died and I came back to life. What she meant is she died to the flesh and to the world, and then she's living a new life. Except the corn of wheat fell down and died. It bears no fruit. So Captain Kuma was telling her that the old life, all things must pass away. Behold, all things must become new. You know, so the man or the woman God uses. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Man of God, can you read for us Ezekiel 22, verse 30? Ezekiel 22, verse 30. He says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Ezekiel 22, verse 3. God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. How come God is looking for somebody? There are people all over the place. Why can't God just use them? No. God is not an imposter. It's not going to impose on you. God is looking for that man, for that woman, who will fit his purpose. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus lived for some 3.5 years. At the age of 30, he was baptized by a mansion, and the Holy Ghost came on him, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he came out and began to choose his disciples, 12 of them. And he was choosing his disciples who walked with him, Peter, and then John, and then James, and all the rest of them. He also chose Judas Iscariot, who would betray him eventually. They all worked for the Lord, but Judas Iscariot had to fulfill the vision of God. Jesus had to be betrayed, and Judas Iscariot fit that purpose. So that is what Satan did. Judas Iscariot, he had to betray Jesus Christ for 30 days of fever. And that was what he did. But you look at Peter and John and James and all the rest of them. They were very active in ministry. They fulfilled their calling. They fulfilled what God purpose for them. In Isaiah chapter 3, the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 10, you see the story of the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was alone in the temple, in the house of God. And while he was alone in the house of God, it was not service time. It was not church service. It was just Isaiah and God. Now we need that type of thing sometimes. You know, it was just the prophet Isaiah and then God in the temple. Most of the time, we want to come into the church when everybody is there. Sometimes, God is looking for a quiet environment. God is looking for a quiet place. There is a time of solitude. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, the Bible says before morning time, you move into some solitary place, some quiet place, you know, and have quiet time with God and let God speak to you. The Holy Spirit will minister to him, and he will be ready for the day. You know, all those things are very necessary. You know, this world, people are becoming too busy around the clock. People are so busy. There's no time for prayer. There's no time for quietness. There's no time to hear from God. There's no time to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's no time to fellowship with the Father. There's no time to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. All these things are important, but we don't use it. We are very busy, you know, entangled with worldly activities to the point where we don't have time for God. That's not helping us at all. It's not helping us. So in Isaiah chapter 6, there is 1 to 10, you see the prophet Isaiah, though he has been a prophet all the way from Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 5, and now Isaiah chapter 6, the story changed. Mind you, he has been a prophet, but his life and ministry took another turn when he met the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. He was in the temple, you know, worshiping and praising God and hearing and praying when the Lord visited, and the Lord ministered to the prophet Isaiah. Took the coal of fire and put it on his tongue, sanctified his lips, and anointed him to speak the word. And right from that point, the ministry of the prophet Isaiah took a new dimension. See, I remember a man of God once said, he said, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same again. Saul of Tarsus. Had Saul of Tarsus met a preacher on his way to Damascus, it would not have meant anything. But thank God, Saul of Tarsus in Acts of Apostles chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, he met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. He was going to kill Christians. And he had what we call divine encounter. Divine encounter with his creator, with his maker. Divine encounter with the God that created him. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that transformed his life, turned him around, and he met with destiny. This is very important. Divine encounter. My prayer today is, may we have divine encounter with the Lord. It's very important. Because sometimes we are just fellowshipping with people. We are not fellowshipping with God. We are not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. We are just talking with people and talking and holding meetings and holding meetings upon meetings. Isaiah was in the temple alone with God when God came down into the temple and began to minister to him. Who shall I send and who will go for me? And the boy. The boy spoke, who will I send and who will go for me? Isaiah did not argue 1 minute. Isaiah, the prophet, he answered the call of God. He said, here am I, Lord, send me. See, that's what it should be. Many people are running away from God's call today. They say there's no money, so there's no need of being a preacher. There's no need of being a pastor. There's no need of being an evangelist. There's no need of being a servant of God. It's very dangerous when you do that. You remember Jonah? Jonah ran away from God's call. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and prophesy. Jonah got into a ship, bought his own ticket, and he was going to Tarshish instead, the opposite direction. And the book of Jonah, chapter 1, 2, 3, and Jonah had trouble. They threw him into the sea, and a whale swallowed him and carried him to the same Nineveh that he rejected. He was lucky. Scientists have proved that no living creature, no living thing can exist in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. No. You can't live in the belly of a fish, the belly of a whale. No living creature can live inside the belly of a fish. It's too hot. Scientists have proved that the belly of a fish is too hot for a living thing to exist there. But it was a miracle that God kept Jonah in the belly of the fish for that length of time until the whale went to the shores of Nineveh and vomited Jonah into the shores of Nineveh, and Jonah had to go and fulfill his calling. Jonah prayed a prayer of repentance. He prayed a prayer of repentance in the belly of the fish. Jonah chapter 1, 2, 3. But that's not what it should be. Why will you put yourself in a tight corner? God said, go right. You went left. God said, go forward. You went backward. And then you saw the repercussion. He confessed in the ship to the captain. So you see, it's because of me this ship is in trouble. You know what? Just throw me into the sea. I know the outcome of it. That thing God's going to take me to Nineveh. See, you don't have to put yourself in that type of situation. You know, ugly situation. You don't have to. The man or woman God uses is the man or woman who yields to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God is calling you. God is saying, come. Don't mind what will happen. Don't mind whether there's money or there's no money. We need to obey the call of God first and foremost. It is supreme. Jesus had to come into this world to die for us, to be saved. It was not easy. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, you know, they were coming to take him to the cross. Jesus prayed, he said, Lord, if this cup of suffering, I'm going to the cross, have to pass me by, let it go. You see, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Even the disciples could not pray 1 hour. And so all these things happen because of serving God. Serving God, there is the fellowship of his suffering. Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And then the fellowship, suffering, there is suffering for Christ. Oh, yeah, Jesus said, those who will live a holy life, a righteous life, who wants to go to heaven, you want to serve God and go to heaven, there is persecution. There is suffering. There are times people treat you anyhow. The other day, we were reading the suffering Apostle Paul went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was smashed. A lot of things the Apostle Paul went through. And people must have thought, is this man call of God? Why is he suffering like this? He's called of God, but there is a fellowship of his suffering. There is a fellowship of his suffering. So he went through all the suffering, just to fulfill the call of God. That God called you does not mean it's a bed of roses. It's not a bed of roses. This is what people think. They think that the call of God is a bed of roses. Jesus Christ himself suffered persecution. They spat on him, they beat him, they call him false prophets, they call him all kinds of names. These are the things we go through as followers of God. The man or woman God will use in this end time are men of good report. Acts of Apostles chapter 6. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 from verse 3 to 5. The disciples, the apostles decided that we want to give ourselves to the word of God. We will start stable. So we need deacons. We need deaconesses. We need other servants of God who will serve in another category. And then we are looking for men of honest report, people of faith, people full with the Holy Spirit, people of integrity and dignity. Acts of Apostles chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. So they found men of dignity and integrity, men and women who were ready to dedicate their lives to service. Jesus said, the Son of God has come to serve and not to be served. Jesus made that statement in the scripture. I have come to serve and not to be served. Because if you look at it nowadays, everybody tries to be a lord. Everybody tries to be a lord, you know, in the church. Everybody wants to be bishops, apostles, and prophets. Everybody wants to be archbishop and pope. Everybody wants to be, you know, masters. So where are the servants of God? Apostle Paul says, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus himself called himself a servant. Jesus said, I have come to serve and not to be served. Today, servants of God want to be worshipped, want to be adored, want to take glory for what they didn't do, and absorbing themselves. And this is what Satan did that made him to fall. Satan's pride entered him and he converted the worship of God. And Satan, Lucifer, was driven out of heaven. That's how he became Satan. He was originally Lucifer, the archangel of God. He and Angel Gabriel, and Angel Gabriel is the messenger angel. And then Angel Michael is the angel for war. And then Lucifer led the praise and worship in heaven. But Lucifer said, I want to be the one to be worshipped. He was coveting God's position. He was that covetousness. Lucifer was an archangel of God. He was not Satan originally. He was not devil. He was not demon originally. So he was proud and arrogant. He coveted the worship of God. And he rebelled against the Almighty God. When he rebelled, heaven rejected him and he took one-third of the angelic host in heaven. One-third of the angelic host in heaven, and then he was driven out of heaven. The angel Michael, Archangel Michael, was given authority and power to drive away the devil, drove away Lucifer and his cohort from heaven, and they fell into this war. So they became Satan and demons, evil spirits that we are now fighting. They are the ones who went to the Garden of Eden to deceive Adam and Eve. So this is how it all began. Pride and arrogance. People are not proud. No. Everybody in the church is now a lord. Nobody is a servant anymore. And you read about Prophet Elijah and Elisha. Elisha served Prophet Elijah for many, many years until Elijah left the earth. And when Prophet Elijah was to leave, Elisha was not even demanding anything, except that he asked for the double portion of the anointing, the Spirit of God, the power to do the work. And that was a plus for him. He got double portion. So Prophet Elijah did 32 miracles. Elijah did 16 miracles. Prophet Elijah did 16 miracles. Then Prophet Elisha did 32 miracles in the Bible. And this is how you know those who are really called of God. See, many are called, few are chosen. God has called everyone in the general sense, but there are the chosen ones who will accomplish some task. Oh yes, many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the chosen ones? The ones who are going to do it God's way. The ones who are going to listen to the voice of God and do what God is saying. Not the runaway. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord and he said, here am I, send me. He did not, you know, make excuses. People whom God will use this end time of the prayer for men and prayer for women. Who will dedicate their lives, be committed to the work of the Lord, and give their all to the Lord. Many times we tell God what to do. The man of God wrote a book. He said, do you send God message or God send you message? Do you use God or God uses you? I read that book. This generation wants to use God. God should not use them. That's the generation we are now. The generation that uses God like a talisman. Like they use God like a messenger, Aaron's boy. God, go and do this. God, go and bring this for me. God, give me a car. God, give me a. God, give me a plane. God, give me money. God, give me this. You're always asking and demanding from God. Now let God turn around and tell them, hey, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will not go. Like Jonah, they will go to another city. And that has been the problem. Everyone is to himself. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is destruction. How committed are we? How dedicated are we to this gospel? The man or woman God will use in this end time must be someone who focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You must believe in him and trust in him and hope in him. Look at the book of Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Esther chapter 4 verse 15, she decided to go on a fast 3 days, no water, no food. She set up a tent and went on a fast. Esther chapter 4 verse 15. And then Esther said, if I perish, I perish. See, she didn't care. That's what it should be. We are like military. When you join the military, you find that That's it. Whatever happened, that's okay. So you fine. That's the military. The same thing with other force, you know. Esther said, if I perish, I perish, I don't care. I'm going all out for the Lord, to serve the Lord, asking and prayer to deliver the people. She said, if I perish, I perish. Esther chapter 4, verse 10. That should be the attitude of the servant of God. That should be the attitude of the man of God or the woman of God. If I perish serving God, I perish. I don't care. That should be the attitude. Then Jesus said, those who want to protect their life, they will lose. Those who are ready to lose their life for the gospel's sake, they will be saved. People like Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, you could see the submission. See? Here was Prophet Moses, here was Joshua, and then here was Caleb. The submission. They looked at Moses as the mentor. They looked at Moses as the leader. They looked at Moses as the one following God, and so we are following God through Moses. That's what it should be. The only time Aaron went to make a golden calf, leading the people away from God, then there was confusion. See, there must be submission to leadership. There must be mentorship. Oh, yes, we must have leaders over us who are showing us the way. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I'm following Christ. We must have examples of people we are emulating. We are following them because we are following Jesus Christ. We don't have to be proud and arrogant. Moses, the greatest leader of the Old Testament, then Jesus, the greatest leader of the New Testament, the Bible called them humble men. Philippians chapter 2, say he humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. He humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. And then God gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every name must bow. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. And every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We are following Jesus Christ, the narrow way that leads to eternal life. There must be submission. There must be obedience. There must be humility. Moses was so humble that God called him the most humble person. The Bible described Moses as the most humble person on earth, the meekest man. Yes, that's the rightful word. That's the rightful word that was used for Moses. See, Moses was the meekest man on earth. He was the most humble person on earth. I say, no wonder God chose him. God will not use a proud, arrogant person. God will not use, you know, disobedient fellows. Arrogant, they don't obey the instruction. The Holy Spirit tells you what to do, where to go, and how to do it. And then you start arguing, you start debating. You know, like Jonah, you want to run away to Tarshish. God will not use such people. God is looking for people who are submitted in the spirit. People who will flow with the voice of God. When they hear the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, they will follow instructions. They will not disobey. Apostle Paul says, when I got this vision, I did not consult flesh and blood. I did not disobey this heavenly vision. He obeyed to the letter. Today we call Abraham the father of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. How did he get there? Abraham, the father of faith. God said, take your son, Isaac, your only son, Isaac, and lay him on the altar and sacrifice him for me, Abraham. Abraham didn't argue one bit, didn't argue one minute. He went ahead and took that boy, Isaac, the only son of promise, took that boy, was ready to offer him. Put him on the table, tied his hands and legs. Abraham was ready to offer Isaac, and a voice spoke from heaven. Abraham, stop! You have obeyed me. You have done what I said. Now, get ready for blessing. And that is why Abraham was so blessed. You know, I hear people sing this song. Abraham blesses are mine. Abraham blesses are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed right now. Abraham blesses are mine. I hear this song always in churches where I go. I hear this song all the time. Abraham blesses are mine. Abraham blesses are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed right now. Abraham blesses are mine. Then I said, wait a minute. This song, which are revisiting the song should be Abraham obedience is mine. Abraham obedience is mine. I obey in the morning. I obey in the evening. Abraham's obedience is mine. That's how that song should be. Are you there? Because it was Abraham's obedience that brought Abraham's blessing. You see, you want to go grab the blessing. How about the obedience? The test for obedience. Genesis 22, it says, and God tested Abraham. God tempted Abraham. Another translation says, God tempted Abraham. He tested Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 1. God tested it. There's a time of test. When you go through that test and you pass the test, then you are promoted to the next class. Abraham obeyed God to the letter. Abraham obeyed the voice of God to the letter. And God said, Abraham, you have passed the test. Now get ready for the blessing. And the blessings are for you and your children and your children's children and so on and so forth and so on. So well, as I move around, I go to places, go to churches, go to places, I hear this song all the time. Abraham blesses are mine. Abraham blesses are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed right now. Abraham's blessings are mine. I say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The song should be Abraham's obedience is mine. Abraham's obedience is mine. I obey in the morning. I obey in the evening. Abraham's obedience is mine. It was Abraham's obedience that brought Abraham's blessing. Take note of this very seriously. It was Abraham's obedience that brought Abraham's blessing. So don't go and grab the blessing when you haven't obeyed yet. This is very serious. It is the reason many people, you know, can't get along with God. They want to grab God's blessing when they have not obeyed God's instruction. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, from verse 1 to 14, especially in verse 1, God said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, and you will do all that is written, then will all these blessings come upon you and overtake you. And then the blessings were mentioned in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 14. And then in verse 15, he now said, but if you disobey my voice, you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, then all these curses shall come upon you. Then all the curses they name, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, and on and on and on and on. But we like the blessings, though. And yet we are not obeying. We are not hearkening to the voice of the Lord thy God. We are not doing what God is saying to us. And this is the reason people can't walk with God. Our prayer today is, God, help us to obey your voice. Help us to obey your instruction. Help us to obey your word. Help us to obey you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, walk worthy of your calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1. He says, walk worthy of your calling. That is, live according to your calling. The other day, we were talking about Acts of Apostles, chapter 11, verse 25, where the disciples went to Antioch. The disciples of Jesus Christ who have been following him, walking with him, they went to Antioch. And over there, they were preaching Christ and presenting Christ to the people. And the people were looking at them, the people of Antioch were looking at them. And the people of Antioch noticed that these believers, these Christians, they act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, live like Jesus, Christ-like. And so the people of Antioch, they said, these people are Christians. That is, they are followers of Christ. They are the disciples of Christ. So the word Christian came into the scripture for the first time in Acts of Apostles, 11:26. Say, these people are Christians. They are Christ-like. They behave like Christ. They behave like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. They love like Jesus. They have like They minister to people like Jesus. Then the people of Antioch, they use the word Christian. These are Christ-like. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like, to be like Christ. So these are Christ-like. They are like Jesus Christ because of their way of life. They walk worthy of their calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, they walk worthy of your calling. The unbeliever have no Bible to read. You are the Bible is reading. It is you are the Bible that the unbeliever is reading. You are the mentor. You are the example. And the unbeliever is looking at you. And from the way you are doing things, they can tell whether this is really a Christian or is this a servant of God, is this a man of God, is this a woman of God behaving like this? See? Then Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. If you lose your taste, if the salt has lost, the light is no more, then everything is gone. Today, our prayer is, God, help us not to be a disappointment to our generation. Help us not to be a disappointment to God. God, help us not to be a disappointment to the preaching of the gospel. Let our lives draw people to Jesus. Let people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are the epistles that the general public is reading. And then Christians and ministers of gospel are living recklessly. The other day, after church service, somebody carried cigarettes and was smoking right in front of the church. Then I looked at him. He's the man who just played keyboard. He just played keyboard inside the church. Now, he came out of the church building. He lights a cigarette. He's defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I even drunk out. And all these things are happening, prostitutes all over the place, halotism, and sexual immorality, lesbians and homosexuals everywhere. The same thing Sodom and Gomorrah did, and God punished them. The same things are being done inside the church, inside the work of God, and they say they are Christians going to hell. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that judgment day is coming. Each of us shall stand before God when God will look at your life and he will see that you are short of the glory of God. Everyone shall stand before God and give account of his life unto God. Whose name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And it is still happening today. The people you thought are going to heaven are not there. It's another people who went to heaven. Now, we think that because we went to church, that's why we are going to heaven. That's not true. We are saved through Christ, through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. As many have received Christ, to them God gave power to become the sons of God. Not the one that rejected Jesus Christ. There is only one thing that will hinder you from the kingdom of God. When you refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to rule over you and watch over you, that is where you fail. Today, we are going to pray a prayer. God, help me not to fail myself. Help me not to disappoint you. Help me to obey your calling upon my life. Help me to fulfill the call of God upon my life to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and live a holy life. Help me not to disappoint you, oh God. Help me to be what you want me to be. That's our prayer today. And everyone to pray this prayer. God, help me that I will be able to do what you want me to do. Not what I really want to do, but what you want me to do. Jesus said, not everyone that saith, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but they that do the will of the Father. There is a will of the Father. There is something God wants you to do. And when you do it, you are fulfilling the call of God in your life. You may not be a preacher. God may just want you to support the church, support the work of God, support the ministers of the gospel who are preaching the gospel. Everyone can be a preacher. The other day we say, are they all apostles? Are they all prophets? Are they all teachers? Are they all evangelists? No. We can't all be preachers. Some people have to serve in different capacities. There are a lot of things to be done. There's the ministry of health, administration, and helping to meet the needs of the people, ministering to those that are oppressed, and helping those that are in need. All those aspects of ministry, people don't think about it. See, Jesus fed 4,000, and then he fed another 5,000. Jesus fed 4,000 people on one occasion, and then he fed another 5,000 people on another occasion. And the Bible says the people followed him. Even if they followed him for the food, That's okay. Even in the policy of Christ, for the bread and fish, the bread and the fish, that is even okay. Because the world is suffering. There are more poor people in the world than rich people. Many people can't afford 3 square meals a day. And if we go out of our way as churches and church leaders and begin to minister to the needs of the people, we will win them faster. But what are the churches doing? What are we doing now? We are just building cathedrals, buying airplanes, and building cathedrals, and buying airplanes. When you get to the gates of heaven, nobody's going to ask you where is your bank account. When you get to the gates of heaven, nobody's going to ask you how many cathedrals did you build. When you get to the gates of heaven, no one is going to ask you how many cars you own and how many houses you own. No one is going to ask you. It is the souls you have won for the Lord Jesus Christ that will matter. Each of us shall stand before God, and we shall render account unto God, whose name was not found in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus will say, go, I know you not. Ye workers of iniquity. I was in prison, and you didn't care. I was hungry, you didn't care. I was naked, you didn't care. There you say, but I didn't see you. When you didn't do it to this person, you have done it to me. Then Jesus said, cast away into the lake of fire. And then to another said, you see, I was in the prison, and you came. I was in the hospital, and you ministered to me. I was naked, I was hungry, and you helped me. And Jesus said, welcome, ye faithful one. See? So ministry is not just the preacher. Ministry is not just somebody who preaches on Sunday morning. Your ministry can be a praying ministry, can be a singing ministry, can be helping the needy, can be feeding the hungry, counseling, you know, reaching out to people in the prisons, in the hospitals. There's so much to do for the kingdom. And all we are seeing is people want to be big cathedrals. These cathedrals, we are not taking them to heaven. After we have built all the cathedrals, we have bought all the airplanes. We now own all the airplanes. And then we have built all cathedrals. Where are the souls that are saved? Where are the souls that are coming to heaven? Where are those that are saved for the Lord Jesus Christ? All he did was to build some mighty cathedrals and buy airplanes all over the place. That's all he did. Each of you can stand before God, and whose name will not be found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. God is calling us to repentance. We need to get right with God. Oh, yeah, we need to do the will of God. Oh, yeah, we need to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I. Lord, send me. He didn't deviate. He didn't argue. He didn't consult. He just gave himself to the Lord. Tonight, God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. God is looking for a boy. God is looking for a girl who will say, yes, Lord. Here am I. Send me. That's all God wants. And I read that scripture, Ezekiel 22, verse 10. How come God is looking for somebody? God started looking for somebody. But there are people all over the place, but there is that somebody who will be willing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Willing, not unwilling followers. Willingly following Jesus Christ. That's what he's looking for. See, I sought for a man. I sought for a woman who would see the God. And he found none. I'm praying tonight that Did he find you? You are that man. You are that woman. You are that boy. You are that girl that need to feel God. You are the one God is looking for. He's calling you today. Come and worship and praise and serve him and love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit. God is calling you today. Don't be like Jonah. Don't run away like Jonah. Jonah received the call of God and he was running away to Tarshish. When God grabbed him again, oh, God loved Jonah. Some people, God really loved him. And dragged him and put him in the church of Nineveh. You have to be compared. Eh? You have to be compared to do the things of God. No, it shouldn't be that way. We must have the willing followers, willing followers of the Lord. He's looking for that man. He's looking for that boy. He's looking for that girl. He's looking for that woman who will willingly follow him. That's what he's looking for. Yes, we want to pray right now. Everybody, wherever you are, in any part of the world who have joined us in this class, please bow your head and let us pray. And I want you to make a decision for Jesus. If you have never made a decision before, you have never given your life to Christ, this is the opportunity for you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, for you to recommit yourself unto him. Yes, in the name of Jesus, we pray for everyone who have heard the word of God today, that they will be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving themselves. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you, oh God, will help us to walk worthy of your calling. Help us, oh God, to be humble. Help us, oh God, to be submissive, to be dedicated, to be committed and focused on the things of heaven. If ye therefore be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Oh, yes, that's the word of God for us today. May we have dignity and integrity in our lives, oh God. May we not be a shame, a disgrace to the preaching of the gospel. May people look at us and see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes, Lord, bless your word into the lives of your people today. Make them doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. I want to thank every one of you for participating. God bless you. Jesus loves you. And we love you too. Tomorrow we have another section by 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Call all your friends and well wishers and everybody. Invite them. Let them come and join in this class. Jesus loves you and we love you. We pray God to bless all of you for your cooperation in this broadcast. Yes. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God, I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and the way it should be.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, God bless you, man of God.
God bless you.
How you doing? I think the day was busy for you. Yeah, I think it was busy for you. So, I started to start doing chief proving. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I say I start doing. She's very. Hello?
Yeah, she's very good now. She's very good.
All right. All right. God bless you. All right. I'm still communicating with those people. I'll let you know how far.